Ready for this? Powder folks, let's gather around for the best sports talk in town. We got our hosts, Darren, Tim, and Chris. Baby, can't get better than this. Give out all the power rankings. Laugh at all the teams tanking. A lot of fun, a lot of surprise. Let's give it up for the guys in this league.
Yeehaw! Word to your mother, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome into episode 3 of season 6 of the This League Fantasy Football Podcast. We are in person, alive, better looking than ever.
Yeah, we are.
Got a great show for you here today. As always, I'm your host, Chris Mitchum, the proud manager of Team Fair Life, here with the usual gang, Aaron Hunt, the manager of the Sun God Squad.
What's going on, beautiful people? Glad to be back, and the audio quality going to be way better.
Yes, it will be. Thank you so much for hanging with us last week as we just went back to our roots, baby. Just a Zoom call and separate audio streams. That was great. And, of course, we can't forget the daddy of the podcast, Tim Rader, the proud manager of Close But No Jamar.
What's up, everybody?
And like I said, we have a fantastic show for you. In case we get a little distracted, we do have the second half of the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Los Angeles Chargers going on behind us as we speak. So you have your Omarion Hamptons making rookie mistakes. We have Najee Harris playing with one eyeball.
One catch so far, I think, on one
yeah,
target.
Yeah, there you go. And we have Justin Herbert, honestly, just dotting up the Kansas City Chiefs. He looks great. Today's episode is going to be awesome. We have three burning questions. I know you're sitting there just wanting to know our opinions on certain questions. Well, we read your mind, and we got all three of them in one segment. And then we are going to do the first power rankings of the season, the preseason power rankings. We did ours. We got input from the league. These are going to be as accurate as you can get. And then it's football time, ladies and gentlemen. The week one preview. We get to talk about actual football players and actual games playing actual football. It's going to be brilliant. But before we get into that, drink of the week. Aaron, I'll start with you, man. What are you drinking?
So, funny story with my drink of the week. I actually acquired this at work today. So
it's where do you work?
It's a Ripcord Double IPA from Daredevil Brewing.
It's great.
I would never pick this beer myself, but I had a coworker who had a client come in who works for Daredevil Brewery as a sales rep, brought in a whole case of cold Ripcord, handed one to my manager and myself. So didn't know that was allowed, but shout out to him.
Hey, it's Friday.
That's nice. For real.
Yeah.
Shout out to Daredevil.
And it's hitting.
So, yeah, it's a double IPA for a reason.
The
back
baby. Of the throat.
I know. Pause. All right. I will go next. I have a nice crispy Miller Lite. Please. Oh.
The slurp effect is
that was genuine.
Yidge.
I did accidentally just fumble a toss from Aaron earlier. So this is my fault while it's currently exploding on my face.
Pause.
but yes, Miller Lite, please sponsor our podcast. I'm drinking a beautiful crispy in a can Miller Lite. It's fantastic. Tim, what are we sipping?
Oh, we did a little light pull workout today. You know, staying hydrated, trying to sleep as much as I can. It's just a little protein shake.
Because we got babies in the house.
A little root beer float protein shake action. It's a fun flavor.
Is that like a protein powder flavor?
Yeah. Jocko Fuel. Jocko protein powder.
You don't put like milk with that, right?
Yeah, a little milk, a little water.
With a root beer float? Well, I guess
yeah,
ice cream.
Yeah, it's good.
It probably is pretty good. Gotta love Isaiah Pacheco just getting thrown around like a rag doll.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we
want. Aaron's very much locked into this game. Got both running backs, receiver on one side.
Yep.
Aaron's going to be locked in. We did have a Thursday night football game, didn't we, Aaron?
We did.
You know what? The wide receiver 6 in football, A.J. Brown. I mean, he's continuing to perform at that wide receiver 6 level, am I right?
Shut up, dude.
He might be like 18 by now. Like, there's a lot of guys catching passes here.
I mean, you know.
I hope he goes off for 40 next week. You will not hear the end of it.
Like we said, Drew Ogletree had the same amount of fantasy points as A.J. Brown at a certain point last night. So,
hey, what happened?
Not sure what happened to the boy there. But obviously, Saquon did his thing. Jalen Hurts did his thing.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb did his thing. Let's just go through Tim's team.
Yeah. Here.
Although CeeDee kind of had a bad game.
He had some CeeDee drops.
He kind of sucked in some ways. He had four some CeeDee pretty drops. Bad drops.
Yeah, stat line was great. So
no, for
could have been fantasy, an elite night. Like it could have been a 40-50 point night.
That's what I'm saying. He could have had 30-40 easy.
It's early. It's all right.
He could. All right, and like I said, we have Friday Night Football going on behind us, so we'll keep you on track with that. Let's get into some burning questions. They're not cold. They're hot, and I know you guys want answers. We got three for you here today, and the first one on the mind of two particular individuals of this league, but probably on the hearts of all 10 of us, let's be honest. The first burning question for us is there any way in hell we get Stretch versus Anthony, number four. Fourth championship between the two in 6 years. Tim, I'll throw it over to you. Like, I feel like the answer to this question has been no previously, but it just seems to keep happening.
Yeah, it's one that, you know, I want to answer no, and in the past I probably would have, but I think just seeing what we've seen, I have to say, sadly, there's a chance.
There's a chance.
It's a non-zero chance. Yeah, we need Stretch to sell off some of his old guys that somehow just keep doing it. But Anthony, we know his lineup's got some stars, so it's not an odd year. So maybe no, you know. So far they've been every odd year, right? So
I think so. Yeah, I mean, even if they just end up on like the same side of the bracket, can we make that happen? Just not in the championship, you know?
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Well, like semifinal round would
one.
Be fun.
Round one.
Know? Yeah,
that'd be so.
Get
fun.
It out of the way.
Might be a voting topic to reseed. For playoffs going forward,
reseed if Anthony and Stretch are on the way.
Anthony and Stretch have to play by week or by the second.
Adopt round. The rule. I know. Yeah. Aaron, is it a possibility? Is it on the horizon?
It is not.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is I'm never going to doubt Stretch ever again. I will never say that
Smart.
He is either going to or not going to. I don't know what the hell is going to happen with his team. But with Anthony, I'm pretty confident that. From the onset, I don't know. I don't see it because you got CMC already with the calf issue popping up. Hate that.
Yeah.
Lamar.
Don't like that.
Lamar Jackson and Justin Jefferson, you can lock them in. But Travis Kelce, I mean, he's pretty old now.
I mean, Justin Jefferson, you got to see J.J. McCarthy a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, there's just a lot of question marks, and I hate his flexes. I absolutely hate his flexes right now.
Which are
Rashid Shaheed and Zay Flowers.
Oh, yikes.
Rashid Shaheed.
So there's
Spencer Rattler.
even Chuba Hubbard, like, we think he's going to be an RB2, but he's just okay. So I won't spoil it, but I actually have him lower in my rankings.
Okay. I am also on Aaron's side. I rest on the fact that I don't think both of them will make it. Mm-hmm. Can one of them pull something out and end up there? Sure. Anthony could have one last ride with his, you know, four horsemen that we've always talked about since the beginning of this league. And we know Stretch with his just ridiculously cunning and just
Cortland Sutton
bare bones approach to fantasy football. Stretch looks at his lineup and it just says, like, this is how we all should look at our lineups, but he just says, who's going to score me the most points? I feel like we sometimes get carried away with this guy's sexy or this guy has a great matchup and, you know, he could pop off. So, like, Stretch just looks at his lineup and says, like, okay, who's going to score me the most points?
Yep.
And he wins a lot doing that, and maybe that's something we all should strive for. So I don't think there's any way that we get a number four between the two of them in particular, but if one of them ends up there, I wouldn't be surprised. That's where I'm at on it. Burning question number two that everybody wants the answers to is going to be, who's the guy, and Aaron, we'll start with you, who's the guy you're either higher on than most people, you know, a guy who's kind of chilling out, but Aaron's like, I like this guy, or is projected to be great that you're willing to just put your name on it, willing to staple gun your name to this man's chest as this is my guy for the year. Who, on either one of those questions, is your pick here?
Number one, this is going to be classified as very bold.
Okay.
Number two, definitely bias.
Nice.
Matthew Golden is my answer.
All right. Rookie wide receiver from the Green Bay Packers.
Camp vibes have been spectacular for him. I think he's coming into a situation that's even better than anticipated. You have Jaden Reed, who's been on the injury report and also just banged up in camp. Romeo Doubs is not that guy. Tucker Kraft, you know, he's going to be fine, but he's not shown to be a Travis Kelce or George Kittle type of player. And I do think athletically Matthew Golden is elite. Yeah, maybe he doesn't have the stats in college to back it up, but there's plenty of examples of receivers that weren't necessarily super elite in college that come in and dominate in the NFL. He's a first-round draft pick. Not a lot of people have a lot of promise in him. I'm putting my stamp on him.
Let's see. You took Matthew Golden with, what, 2-4 in the draft?
Mm-hmm.
So, Tim, Matthew Golden, were you a big fan coming out of college, or is he just kind of another guy to add to all the weapons there in Green Bay?
I was not a huge fan coming out of college. A little punch thrown here in the game.
I saw that.
Let's get chippy in Brazil. We like to fight in Brazil.
That wasn't racist. Looking back at last podcast, I believe Aaron's words were, yeah, if Matthew Golden doesn't work out, we'll have seen that coming.
We've seen it coming.
I have warmed over the last couple of weeks.
Just definitely. Because I sent him a trade offer for him. That's the only reason. Yeah. That's the only reason he's warmed on him.
Somebody else has the apple works. Of his eye. All of a sudden, he's saying,
well, because he said no to my other guy. That I was, so I was like, fine, give me your other guy. And he's like, no.
No.
That's not even a counter.
All right.
I'm hoarding.
So Matthew Golden, you'd say Aaron's probably higher on him than most people. You think he's going to establish himself there in Green Bay?
Definitely over the last couple of weeks, I am seeing a situation where he could really be the real deal.
Right. I can definitely see the situation. Like there's not a lot of
they're
help
begging
there.
For a number one there. I mean, once he gets past Ontavian Wicks, you know.
And Jordan Love, is he does he bounce back? Is he a top 5-10 quarterback, or is he like more like 20? Like I honestly don't have a firm opinion on Jordan Love yet.
I've seen a lot of power rankings, just like general power rankings of teams with like the Packers in the top 5.
Right.
I
don't get it.
I'm not there.
I don't get it.
I'm not there. And maybe it's because I haven't seen Jordan Love, you know, pull a Josh Allen and just, like, take a game over. Like, I've seen him, like, lead the game-winning drives and things like that. But top five, that's a lot. That's a lot. And, like, who's your number one receiver on a top five team?
Right.
You know? Right. And you're rocking, you know, Josh Jacobs. He's good. But it is what it is. We got a touchdown scored here.
Pat Mahomes ran
Patrick
it.
Patrick Mahomes.
Dude, he has ran this whole drive.
Hayden, I hate you. You so much, Aiden. I hate you. Hope you die. All right. Tim, let's throw it over to you. You're a guy that you're either higher on the most people or is projected to be great and you're willing to put your reputation on.
Okay. So this was a hard answer for me. And I rambled on paper and I'm probably going to ramble here on air a little bit.
It's fine.
You know, looking back at last year, I just got to say, like, one of our podcast bets was for my guy last year that it would have been my answer. Nico Collins.
Yeah.
I was so in on Nico Collins before last year. He hadn't really done anything yet.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was trying so hard to trade for him. I think we had a bet on, you thought that
shush.
Who's the guy that's like
pass.
Not the
Tank Dell.
Yeah. You thought Tank Dell would score more fantasy points than Nico.
I was in love with Tank Dell last year.
Like Nico was my guy, but I think he's too premier now for me to say, like, a guy higher than most. Like, we know he's going to be a top 5 receiver if he stays healthy. So my mind then goes to two other guys. The first one is Courtland Sutton. Yeah, I hyped up the Broncos last week. I think that, you know, because they're not asked to do a ton, they're not asked to be like Burrow and the Bengals. Like, Bo Nix and Courtland Sutton are going to put up 12 to 15 touchdowns and 1,200 yards. Like, he's going to have a, you know, probably wide receiver 12 to 15 finish. Like, he's going to be up there.
Like, he did last year, yeah.
He's just a name that people are just tired of. Mm-hmm. He's been around for a long time, but he's only 29.
But, like, think of all the competition he has in the wide receiver room, Tim.
Okay.
Marvin Mims.
I was about to say, I don't even
Marvin
know if I can name
Mims, baby. Franklin,
you know, they got in Evan Ingram. You know, he's going to take some targets. Divine point being, yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, Courtland Sutton's the only soul there, and they did nothing to address that position in the offseason besides bringing Evan Ingram.
Yeah, Evan Ingram will steal some targets, but.
Yeah, but it's still Courtland Sutton's team.
Yep, and he is on Stretch's team.
Yes, he is. Yes, he
is. Of course he is.
My guy, man,
dude, this is crazy.
I feel like I'm back to season one.
I don't think I
kind of laughed out loud. I laughed out loud when I read it.
Hear me out.
Wild. All
right. This is a guy, you know, I feel like people think of this guy as like, you got to like throw the ball downfield, and he is a great go up and get it receiver. He's never really been used that way, but he can do it. But this guy has thrived on the short to intermediate, getting open, being aggressive, contested catches, being a safe outlet, you know, 10 targets in his prime, right? Again, short and intermediate. The quarterback of this team happens to just thrive on the short and intermediate passes. And I think he is the undisputed number one on his team. I hate the slander of these other guys saying they're coming in. This guy's not getting paid like the number one. This guy's getting paid like the number one. Michael Pittman Jr., ladies and gentlemen. Is he going to finish as a top 12 wide receiver? No, he's not. But this man is being drafted outside of the top 36 in redraft leagues, people. Yeah. Like, this guy is left for dead. And the most offensive thing of all, people are drafting Josh freaking Downs over him. He's the short intermediate guy. Okay, Josh Downs is going into his fourth NFL season. Has he finished top 30 wide receiver any NFL season? Oh, no? No? Just not
He's
even.
He's probably not even top played 30. 10 games probably in a season.
Yeah, yeah, like, has he ever finished top 12 on a week? I think he has, like, I looked earlier, like, twice in his career. Like, you're looking at
how much
Pittman
is Michael
Jr.
Pittman, though?
Oh, he finished as the wide receiver 13 3 years ago, the wide receiver 20 the year before that. Dude, he's surpassed 100 receptions twice in his career.
Michael Pittman was Drake London before Drake London.
Right.
He was a USC tall, lanky, you know, outside wide receiver.
So,
but
you get a guy like we are an Anthony Richardson podcast, but you get a guy that can hit a 5-yard slant in Daniel Jones. It's not going to look pretty. But he could do it. He can move an offense. And I think Michael Pittman, again, is the number one on this offense. And if you give that man 10 targets a game, which I think is absolutely doable, if you're going to be throwing the ball that much, he's going to be the number one target. Is he going? I could see him averaging, you know, 7 catches for 60 yards and just piecing together that, throwing some touchdowns, finishing as the wide receiver 20, 19, 18, around there. Is he, like I said, is he a wide receiver one? Probably not. But is he going to finish above wide receiver 36? Absolutely, ladies and gentlemen. I'm feeling a return to form-ish for Michael Pittman Jr. this year.
You go ahead, Tim.
I mean, you talked me into top 36. I think I would, if it was like a roulette table, I'd take the 30 to 36 range. I don't know. Maybe he's just one of those guys that, like, I feel like what you saw last year, maybe it's Anthony Richardson. Maybe that's part of what
he
you're
also
saying.
Played with, like, a broken back all of last year. Don't forget that.
Yeah, like, I feel like last time I remember seeing him, you're just left like a bad taste in your mouth. You're just like, this guy, like, is he done in the NFL? Like, is he toast? I just had to look. 27. Mm-hmm. So, you know, not unfeasible to have a bounce back year, you know? I don't know. It's...
All right.
That's my
Aaron.
Summation.
Just tell me I'm not like on Mars right now. Like I'm grounded here, right?
You make good arguments as a lobbyist should.
I'll take it. That's good enough for me. I make good arguments, people. Michael Pittman Jr.
But I will say, I think Tyler Warren is going to be the number one target in the Colts offense.
Yeah,
rookie tight end.
I think he will.
A rookie.
I think
tight
he will.
End. Do you want to bet on that right
guess
now?
Guess whose team that's on? That sounds like a podcast bet.
Do you want to bet that Tyler Warren's going to have more targets than Michael Pittman Jr.?
I'd do that.
Really?
Yeah.
Can we put some stakes on this, please? $25.
$25?
$25.
What about like 10?
15.
Deal.
$15. You heard it here first.
I'll put it in the sheets.
Yeah, I remember it, Tim. I say Michael Pittman Jr. is going to have more targets than Tyler Warren.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
All right. There it is, folks. Your first podcast bet of the year. The third and final burning question we have is, which wide receiver or running back that finished outside the top 24 is most likely to finish as a wide receiver or running back one? Who did we start with last time? It was Tim last time. Right?
I think you started with me.
Start with Aaron. So, Tim, we'll start with you. Your pick, who's going to leap up into that running back one? This question was actually kind of tough.
Yes, sir. I had to think about it because it's not... Like you can't pick a rookie, obviously, because they didn't have a finish last year. So these are guys that either, you know, injuries kind of a cheap way out too. Mm-hmm. Looking for a guy that can truthfully like break out and break through. As I'm stalling to pull up the stats here,
it's
one of my guys from last year.
Stalling.
Jordan Mason.
That was the wrong drop, but hey, that is really exciting.
Dude, that drop got me excited. Rewind to last year, right? It's right like the week of week one. and Christian McCaffrey has a calf injury and does not practice. Wait, it was last
Wait,
year?
Wait, yeah, what are you talking about? Is this, this you talking about yesterday?
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Did you not practice on Friday? Probably.
Brian Robinson season? Sorry. Jordan Mason was a guy like, I picked him up. I called my shot. I loved what I saw in his collegiate tape. He did nothing in his first 2 years in the pros. And I was like, I see the path. If CMC goes down, there's a pathway. So I picked him up before the injury even came out. Weeks 1 through 4, he was the RB5.
He was cooking.
11, 24, and 5.
Mm.
Like, if you'll recall, he got off to a blazing start, then had a few weeks in the 30s, and then had his injury of his own. And then, you know, the 49ers did their whole, I don't know, Garindo. And then, like, it was just...
Rigmarole.
Yeah, who's who of running backs. That being said, this is a guy, like, in his 3 seasons, he runs for over 5 yards a carry, averages about 5.5 yards a carry over his, looks like about 250 carries. Like, that's not a small sample size. That's not nothing. So
workhorse for sure.
I think, you know, a guy that finished outside the top 24 last year, he was 37 in half PPR, 41 in PPR. I think he's got opportunity to do it. Aaron Jones is older. You know, they rode him like a horse last year. I think they have to, for his sake, like, maybe not cut him in half, but like bare minimum, his touches are going to
cut him in half. That'd be violent.
And also, Minnesota has invested heavily in the O-line.
You know, O-line guy.
O-line talk right That's here right. with Tim.
God, we need a drop.
O-line talk with Tim. And so I think that that coupled with the fact that J.J. McCarthy is a new quarterback, what did he do well at Michigan? Threw off the run.
Won games, yeah.
Threw, like he rode the run game.
Right, yeah.
And then that opened up easy throws.
That's a great point.
Kevin
O'Connell, yeah.
Yeah. He's not a dumb head coach. He's a very freaking smart head coach. This team's going to be run first. In my opinion, they're going to be run first, oh, and then
he's
they're going to have to
me, Aaron.
Open.
He's selling me.
They're going to have to open up some easy throws for J.J. McCarthy. It's going to help that, you know, he's got Justin Jefferson and post suspension Jordan Addison, T.J. Hawkinson. Like, he's got some weapons out there. But I don't see a Sam Darnold like out of nowhere gunslinger in J.J. McCarthy. I just don't. So I think, you know, heavy offensive line investment, smart head coach. They're going to try to make it easy on J.J. McCarthy. They're going to run the ball a lot. He's going to be your first and second down running back. He's going to get your goal line touches. I think that it should be a top 24 season. I'm not saying top 10. I'm saying a very solid, reliable RB2.
Like I said, this is a hard question because you got to pick somebody who finished outside the top 24, and we're trying to predict who finishes inside the top 12. So that can be pretty tough. But I will say, I'll say the obvious point that you didn't mention because it would have made your argument less strong. But Aaron Jones is known to pick up an injury or two.
Yeah.
So I think that's a very, you know, fair argument to make of if he does go down, Jordan Mason is going to be the dude. He proved he's not the best pass catcher, but he can do it if push comes to shove. So I like that take a lot. I'll jump in here to my guy who finished outside the top 24, who I think could make a push for top 12. It is my baby. I won't say my baby. Well, maybe. Tank Bigsby, the running back from the Jacksonville Jaguars. I actually did a control F on our document and went back to 2023 draft, and I said my favorite pick of the draft was Tank Bigsby.
I remember.
Because I loved his tape out of Auburn.
Third round by me.
I thought he had an amazing blend of speed and strength running between the tackles. He's not known as a pass catcher, but similar to Jordan Mason, him and Travis Etienne can both get it done. He finished as the the running back 36 last year, and he only played 50% of snaps 4 times last year. One of those times he did so, he finished as the RB1 on the week against, of course,
Colts.
You're Indianapolis.
Classic. Didn't have like an 80 or 90 yard touchdown run.
Yeah,
like
it was
like,
something crazy.
Yeah, strength and speed.
That
exactly. That's what I'm saying. So Liam Cohen has a lot to do with this coming over from Tampa Bay. You look at his offense over there. It was the Bucky Irving and Rashad White show. But I think Liam Cohen has showed that he relies and he identifies talent. And towards the end of the year, Rashad White was almost nowhere to be found. It was the Bucky Irving show that led him to finish inside the top 12 of running backs. I could see something very similar happening for Tank Bigsby this year. He might get a little slower start, but I think the talent will ultimately show out whenever he is the better pass blocker, the better running back between the tackles. I'm not going to sit here and say he's a better pass catcher than Travis Etienne, but like I said, I think he's serviceable enough to get it done and end up potentially getting a workhorse load, kind of like Bucky Irving did last year. So I've been big on Tank for a while. I probably should have bought low and put my money where my mouth is, but here we are. I can see us sitting here and being like, yeah, at the end of the year, Tank Bigsby being that surprise top 15, top 12 guy at the end of the year.
That is two running backs on my bench right now.
Yeah, aren't you having fun?
Wild.
I like it.
I try my best to not pick people on my own team.
Are we are we concerned at all, though, about Tank Bigsby's fumbling issues? Do you think that comes into this year?
I feel like that's such a – like, that's something that you have to take into account. It's one of those things where you do it once and you could be out for three games. But I have a hard time factoring that into, like, season-long kind of things. Like, Ramondre's had a fumbling season for 3 years, and he's been the workhorse in New England for 3 years. Probably not this year. But, you know, I think that's something that, you know, you can work through, you continue to get better at. So I think that's something that you definitely have to consider. Aaron, we'll throw it over to you to wrap up our burning questions. Wide receiver, running back, outside the top 24 last year, who you think may end up in the top 12?
Well, I like both your guys' selections and Jordan Mason, especially, Tim. I think that was a good shout.
Oh, especially. Nice. Good for you.
Thanks.
I am going to go with a guy who has proven it previously.
I loved this pick when I saw it.
Yeah,
it's a smart pick.
He has put a lot out there for the fantasy community to believe in him, but the fantasy community often forgets very quickly what players have done on the field. My guy's Jalen Waddle.
Here we go.
Fellas, the vibes of Miami camp around Tyreek Hill have been pretty bad.
I'm nervous.
He's not a captain anymore.
He lost his team captain spot.
You could say I'm nervous.
It's the first time he's not been a team captain since 2022. Quentin Johnston just dropped a pass.
He still has no hands. He's actually looked okay this game.
The sky's blue, grass is green.
Kind of touchdown.
Yeah.
He has had injuries in the offseason.
Jalen Waddle, that is.
Yeah.
Back to Jalen Waddle. Sorry.
Right. Not Quentin Johnston. Yeah. Tyreek Hill has had injuries in the offseason.
Right. I just don't
think he's been as serious about football as he needs to be in recent years. There was clearly a drop-off in performance last year. I don't know what was going on. Tua definitely. But
Tua
just,
died.
Who was playing backup to Tua? Who was
Snoop
that?
Snoop Huntley, right?
Was it Snoop Huntley?
Yeah.
A-Chan was getting like 16 targets a game.
Yeah. But when you watch Tyreek play, though, towards the end of the year, it just seemed like something was off. Not sure if that's going to translate to this year.
I want him to get traded so bad.
Yeah. I think he honestly might.
You know who needs him? The Kansas City Chiefs.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that'd be wild.
Sorry, Aaron. We keep
going.
No, you're good. You're good. And most importantly, a healthy Tua. That's a lot of goodness for the whole offense, but especially for Jalen Waddle. He has had an excellent offseason. Reports from camp says that he has renewed energy about him, that he has grown in confidence in his ability to run the route tree. And I think he truly does step in to a wide receiver one role for this team this year. He's talented enough to do it, and the numbers don't lie. With Tua, he has 7 targets a game. And he has a 30% air yard share when Tua is healthy. So
numbers.
I believe that the stars align for Jalen to come back with a vengeance and finish as a wide receiver one.
I don't hate it. I like that pick a lot.
I do too.
I could see him being the number one, like you said.
Great pick, Aaron. Great pick.
Great pick.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Well, there were your burning questions. You're welcome. You can now sleep better at night knowing that we answered the questions that have just been nagging at you since our last episode. You are welcome. You can thank us later. Guys, I forgot that I have a power rankings drop. I really forgot what this sounds like. I have no idea.
Is it a guitar?
I don't remember. But I'm going to press it because Tim's about to take us into the power rankings. So buckle up because I really don't remember what this rap is. Let's do this.
Power ranking.
Oh. Huh. I don't hate it.
No, I remember it, though.
We got that.
It's not our best drop. It's not our worst drop either. You know.
Yeah, take that and do some talking O-line. Like, we got some other drops that we can
talking
use.
O-line. Like the O-line minute. That'd be so much fun.
Hit it.
That'd be so cool. All right, Tim. You get the yes, O-line sir. Minute, but you also get the power rankings. This is the first one of the year. We took into account a bunch of different folks, opened it up to the league, so these should be pretty accurate.
All right, yes. First, like, preseason power rankings this year.
Yeah, where are we at? Where's the league at here?
It's
how low's Aaron?
It's changed a lot.
How low did A.J. Brown drag you?
Jiminy Christmas. Goodness. Not used to seeing this.
Let us start in the basement where, unfortunately, I think it's going to be a long year.
We'll go and hit it. Yeah.
I think he self-submits it, too.
Done. Yes. In Jigba's in Paris.
Yeah. In Jigba's in Paris.
It's going to take a lot to see... some changes there. Keenan Allen touchdown, blast from the past.
Look at that.
That's one of those old guys that went back to his team for Anthony that actually is playing.
Yes.
Not Amari Cooper.
Pretty sure Anthony benched him this week, didn't he?
Oh, I would have, yeah. Okay, so that's about all we can
say. Rashid Shaheed? Sorry, we'll get there.
That's about all we can say about Don's team. You know, if you're doing the O-line talk, you know, he's that sophomore in high school who weighs about 120 pounds and needs to beef up a little bit.
That's right.
You know, the roster needs some help. It's got some solid players, but nobody that's going to take him over the top. Mm-hmm. The best high upside player in Jigba, you know, just got Sam Darnold. Like,
yeah.
Is he not? Like there's some big question marks here.
He's like a beautiful golden bust on top of a bunch of doo-doo.
Yeah. Aaron, any thoughts on Don?
No, I don't have much to add.
Any hopes or well wishes?
I have well wishes for him.
I do have well wishes.
That's about it.
Hopes are low.
I do think JSN, George Pickens, like they're pretty volatile at times. Like they could go off and win him a week, just them alone.
They could.
The rest of his team leaves a lot to desire.
Rest in peace, Chris Olave, man.
And Xavier Worthy got hurt. So.
Oh, he got wrecked.
Yeah, he did.
By Travis Kelce. Okay, moving on to number 9. It's a team that was making a little bit of noise in last week's, you know, dark horses. A little bit of love, a little bit of hate, a little bit of love. Zach and Breece Lightning.
All right. I think he accepts that. I think he knows.
I think it's the right answer. It's the right place. The right place to start him at the before the season has started. Got to see some guys, you know, make some moves, come back. Are they healthy? Are they strong or are they done? You know, looking at Breece Hall, looking at Javonte Williams, things like that for this year.
But he's got a heck of a foundation. He does. I mean,
and if Breece Hall were the same Breece Hall he was at the beginning of last year,
he's got to get traded.
All of a sudden, his squad looks great. I mean, he traded a first for Jaden Daniels, so he took care of that spot for the next decade. So shout out to Zach.
Yeah, that's
a good number 9. Got some love,
but definitely like young, like needs right. Some guys that need to show it.
Yeah, and to your point, I mean, we've said this before, but the most wide open I feel like this league's ever been.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
I could argue Zach, but the next 8 for sure, all fighting for playoffs.
I think 1 through 9 have a shot.
Yep, all have playoff aspirations.
Sorry, Don. Number 8. Mr. Aaron Hunt.
Woo!
All right.
Squad.
Doubt me. Love it.
You know, A.J. Brown.
I hate. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mario Hampton sucked. Making rookie mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yikes.
No, it's we know the story here. It was a retool, not a rebuild. You still got
very key
AJ or not AJ Brown. Well, you do have AJ Brown.
I do have him. He's not really there, but
Amon-Ra St. Brown. You got a Ladd McConkey. You like the rookie Omarion Hampton. We got to figure out quarterback long term. And I think everybody here loves the upside of Igbuka.
Oh yeah, I like Igbuka a lot.
And you know. Yeah, tight ends too a little bit. But Aaron at number 8.
Nah, Kyle Pitts. This is his year.
I would say if like we did like a you know your favorite start of the week or whatever, Kyle Pitts might be my start of the week. I'd start him this week.
He eats against the Bucs.
I'm ready to be hurt.
Coming in at a surprising number 7, garnering a little extra hate from some of the guys submitting. Tua Infinity and Bijan.
Whoa.
7.
I think it's a stretch factor of he could play guys that score good amount of points and win games. But it's just he's just not very sexy. You get outside of his running backs and it's
Bijan,
like,
Jameer, Derrick Henry.
Yeah, you get outside the running backs and it's
I think it's dogging him a little bit. I have him personally at 6, so I think he should be a spot higher.
Right.
I think most people have him between 5 and 6, but then a couple of low ballers, a little haters. I think that's how he started last year and maybe got even as high as like 2 or 3 in the season. Mm. So
kind of like a one move away kind of guy, I feel like.
Number 6, the guy who leapfrogs him. See a little upside out of Mount Passmore.
Look
this
at that.
Year.
Look at Steven.
We're getting back
look
in the
that.
Thick of it. So long as you don't look at the bench. We're back in the thick of it. So long
put
as you don't look at the bench.
Put your blinders on. Look at that nice starting lineup.
The starting lineup is very, very nice.
Yep.
Seems about right. I don't hate it. Like I had two infinity. I had Hayden higher, but I don't hate it. Number 5, arguably also kind of surprising. Team Uninspired Youth.
I had way too high. We're way too high.
We were talking about him a little bit earlier, you know, going through the lineup, the guys, the four horsemen, and some questions on CMC and Justin Jefferson and, you know, Lamar's foot. Like, there's a little, you know, Amari Cooper. Like, there's been some vibes out there.
Yeah, not great vibes.
Guys are picking up on vibes.
Yep.
Number 4. Walker, hardly know her. Why would your reigning champ be any higher than 4?
Of course.
He only won 3 championships in this league. Number 4.
Stop talking about it.
Just moving on. He's fine. He's he'll live there all year and then he'll win again.
Yeah, whatever. I know. He lives in that 4th.
Number 3.
That's where it gets interesting.
Team Fairlife.
Okay, that's fair. I'll take 3.
Team Fairlife. I think last year's number 1 scoring during the season.
I want to say, didn't you beat me like last week?
Okay. 1 or 2. Like all year long, you put up points.
Yeah.
And the guys remember, you know, you got the names. So I think a very respectable 3rd spot. At number 2, close but no Jamar.
Wow.
Sound the alarm. Sound the alarm. Let's get into it. The number 1.
Oh my God. Where am I?
The number 1 seed in the power rankings is Clayton.
Whoa.
The Red Rocket.
What in the world, bro?
First time he's been here since the opening power rankings
is
of the
2020?
League.
2020. Ever. When we had the like buffers and.
Wow.
Soak it in, Clayton.
Wow.
Soak it in.
I'm really smiling right now, Clayton. I'm so proud of you.
He's literally been building.
I'm so
proud
of you, man.
That don't look at the bench, but that starting lineup.
Don't look at the bench.
We have not seen a starting lineup this strong, in my opinion, in the league history. Like it's so elite.
It could be.
Man, any other quick thoughts, remarks, guys? Like, has it hit you?
I mean, I had Red Rocket 1. Mm-hmm. I am not, like, obviously, he's still my championship pick. I am not as confident about him this week as I was last week because I think his hole at the running back 2 spot became a crater whenever it came out that Jalen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell are above Caleb Johnson on the depth chart. Don't want to overreact to depth charts, but, like, man, even, like, Mike Tomlin came out and said Jalen Warren's going to be our premier guy for the foreseeable future. He knows stuff. So that really did become a really big red flag. Like, I really think he needs to adjust that. You know, maybe if he traded for a James Cook or a Kyron Williams or something and really filled that spot and traded one of his really good receivers the other way, like, I think that could really put him over the top, Clayton. But yeah, I still had a number 1. It's between you two, you and you, Tim, and Clayton, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
I think the Red Rockets deserving of it. It's crazy to see him here.
I'm so happy for him, man.
I'll just go back to Anthony, though, as my big takeaway. Like
number five.
I'm not done crapping on this guy. Can we go back?
I love you, Anthony, but yeah, five is insane. I had him at eight.
I think I had him at seven. Where'd you have him, Tim?
I had him at five.
Okay. All right. There you go. All right. Your first power rankings. Talk about good spice, stuff. Man. Run through them one more time real quick, Tim.
Yeah. At the bottom, Travis Kelce waltzing into the end zone.
God,
where's Taylor man. Swift? Where's Taylor Swift? She probably didn't come because now they're engaged. You know, she's not trying to impress him as much.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I don't really want to go to your game, fiance.
It's so annoying.
Okay. From the bottom, number 10, get used to it. And Jigba's in Paris, Don.
Love you.
Number 9, Zach in the Breeze Lightning. Number 8, Aaron and the Sun God Squad. Number 7, Hayden and Tua Infinity and Bijan. Number 6 is Mount Passmore and Steven. Number 5, Anthony and Team Uninspired Youth. 4, the reigning champion, the 3-time champion, Walker Harlow.
Give him his flowers.
Number 3, Team Fairlife. Number 2, close but no Jamar. And number 1, the Red Rocket.
The Red Rocket at the Red top Rocket. Of the pile.
Wow.
Let's go, baby.
No pressure, dude. No pressure. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, that was your power rankings for the preseason as we head into week one. And speaking of week one, we are about to dive into these matchups, give you our picks, let you know what to look out for, and get ready for what's going to be a fantastic week one. Let's get into it. Pick'ems are back, ladies and gentlemen. And in case you needed a refresher, for our last tally for the pick'ems from 2024, in third place, going 34-26, it was your boy. I had a rough year last year.
Yeesh.
Rough year. And second place, going 36-22, was Tim.
That was my best second year place. Ever. I usually there suck at these.
All right. And Mr. Pick the Safe, never have fun, Aaron at 40.
Is this
and
like
20.
Two or three years in a row?
I won it last year. I won last year.
Oh, okay.
All right, 3 of 4.
Yeah. I've never won it, so.
Good job, Aaron. Mr. Pick'em over there. So we start anew this year, ladies and gentlemen. And I will say, we had Thursday Night Football. We have Friday Night Football going on right now. Our picks.
We are men of integrity.
We are men of integrity. We are doing it as if we were looking at these on Wednesday evening. Before the lineups, before the game started. So knowing what we know now, I know some of my picks would have changed. But like I said, we are men of integrity. So we will give you that promise right there. So let's just get into it, ladies and gentlemen. Your first matchup of the 2025 this league season, we have Don and Njigba's in Paris taking on Anthony and Team Uninspired Youth. I would say two teams that from our power rankings we just did, don't have immaculate vibes right now, so I think both teams are really looking to get off to a strong start. As of this moment, Sleeper giving Anthony a 75% chance of victory, and it's probably just because he had Travis Kelce score a nice 35-yard touchdown.
That'll do it.
And Don had Xavier Worthy knocked out the first play of the game, and George Pickens with 6 points also for Don on that side. So we'll go ahead and jump into this and break it down. Tim, throw it over to you, dog.
So, yeah, we got, you know, we know Don's lineup, right? It doesn't help that we're looking like rain in Seattle for Brock Purdy.
Yikes.
It's going to be a lot of ground and pound, I think. So not a great week one start there. You love Tony Pollard. I personally love him. Tajay Spears is going to miss a few weeks with an ankle. At Denver is not the week to love him, though.
You don't love that.
Yeah, with a rookie, like, you do not love that at all this week. On the other side of that matchup, you got J.K. Dobbins, another guy I kind of like him. I like him early
like
in the season.
Yep.
Like he might fall off again, but like seems like he's their guy. You love to see it. I talked already JSN, a guy that I don't know that we spent a ton of time talking about, Terry McLaurin.
I don't see any reason why he doesn't finish as a top 15 receiver again this year. I mean, Debo, I guess, but I think he's more of a pure wide receiver than Debo is.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you. I think top 15's got to be a pretty safe bet. Aaron, are you in or out on Terry? You think any offseason slowness or slow start? Or
I hate when a guy misses camp as much as he did. So I do think it's going to be a slow roll for him and maybe even possible injury.
I think this week is not it. Again, looking like rain on the forecast for the Giants at home against the Giants in Washington. You know, missed camp, all the things. Giants pass rush is elite. So they're not going to have a lot of time to send him downfield. It's going to have to be quick hitters.
Yep.
Outside of that, you know, Xavier Worthy out early, George Pickens only a couple of late
with
flags.
A George Pickens game.
Yeah. And Don's like I will say Tucker Kraft is a guy I like.
Yeah, especially early in the season.
I love his upside. He finished last year as the tight end. Tucker Kraft, Green Bay.
I will say the tight end 10. What do you think, Aaron?
Aaron, you guess?
What, tight end 8?
You guys are dancing right around it. 10 in PPR, 9.5 PPR.
Bang.
For us, 10.
Let's go.
I know we were just kind of downing on the Packers a little bit, but yeah. I think Tucker Kraft's going to be a big, important part of that offense. You know, we don't like a lot of the other receivers, and he's shown that he can do it. He's young. He's got an athletic upside. So that's kind of Don's lineup in a nutshell. There's not really any lineup decisions unless you want to go to the well with Chris Olave.
I'm avoiding all Saints unless
Spencer
your name's
Rattler. Like week one, I don't blame him for not even thinking about it.
Yeah.
No lineup decisions, in my opinion, for Don's roster.
I agree. And on Anthony's side, the march to 5 title matches in 6 years starts now. And like I said, he's rolling out his 4 horsemen, the Lamar Jackson, Christian McCaffrey, Justin Jefferson, Travis Kelce. You could argue that the 4 horsemen may be down to like 2.5 horsemen now. I mean, you got Lamar Jackson, you got Justin Jefferson, ready to roll, healthy, ready to continue dominating. Travis Kelce, I mean, granted, he did just score a touchdown, but he's also 35.
He had done nothing before that, yeah.
He's an engaged man now. He has a sugar mama. And then also Christian McCaffrey. It just seems eerily.
Weird.
Eerily similar.
It's weird.
Weird vibes.
To last year. Of course, the latest on that being he feels great amid the questionable tag, but I'm sure he felt great last year as well before he was shut down for the season. So, again, the 4 horsemen. Might kind of be 2.5, but even then, I mean, they're the 4 horsemen for the reason. I feel like Anthony's MO for the past 4 years has been those guys dominate, you fill in the blanks, and you just don't crater. And I think that has been his mantra, and I can see that continuing not only this week, but for the rest of this year. Like I said, Lamar Jackson, Christian McCaffrey, Chuba Hubbard. I mean, Chuba Hubbard is the perfect Anthony guy of just don't crater, 12 points, let my 4 horsemen do the work. Jerry Jeudy, same deal, going up against the Cincinnati Bungles.
I don't know if I like Jeudy this year.
What about this week against the Bengals?
Dude, our defense is going to be trash again.
What's the line for Jerry Jeudy this week?
It's got to be pushing 80 yards, if I had to guess.
80 yards, like 7 catches maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I think he'll take that. I don't know what's going on here with the flex spots.
Yeah.
You have Spencer Rattler, and you're trusting Rashid Shaheed for New Orleans. I
don't know why he didn't start Keenan Allen tonight.
I may have. Like, obviously, hindsight's 20/20.
Well, always. But like, and Stephon Diggs?
I'd probably would have started Stephon Diggs over him, too. I don't remember ever seeing Spencer Rattler throw the ball over 10 yards like in my life, so let alone throw a good ball. So that's kind of where Rashid Shaheed thrives. I'm not the biggest fan, but hey, I'm also not a former This League champion, so I'll give Anthony the benefit of it out there. And then he's got Zay Flowers in that other flex spot. Like I said, we're rocking Keenan Allen, who currently is 7-for-68 and a tutty on his bench. Stephon Diggs, you could think about it. Ramondre Stevenson, he's probably going to be relevant the first 3 weeks, and then who knows what happens. So, like I said, as of right now, Sleeper is giving Anthony a 77% chance of victory. I actually had Don. Before this all kicked off, I thought Christian McCaffrey, that spooked me. I didn't think Travis Kelce would have a touchdown tonight. And I thought to your point, Tim, he has a lot of guys that will start the season strong, I think. Tony Pollard, J.K. Dobbins, Tucker Kraft, I think, while they're trying to decide who's going to be the wide receiver one in Green Bay, I think he's going to be reliable and consistent there. So I actually picked Don. That's not looking great right now, but that's my first pick of the season.
Hey, there
is
you
the
go.
Guy that we have probably indefinitely at the number 10 spot. So
yeah,
that's how we're starting.
I'm Anthony. Just skill set over there. Just the guys.
Okay. Aaron, your pick here.
My pick was Anthony, largely due to the reason that Tim said, and also you have said as well. Just the guys that have the star power, I think we're going to show out. Obviously, didn't know about CMC prior to like having that pick, but I thought those guys alone would just be enough to put them over the top. And you mix in a little bit of Chuba, a little bit of Jerry Jeudy, you know, the rest was going to take care of itself. So I had Anthony.
All right, that's two for Anthony. Come on, Don. Come on, Don. You can do it. All right, we will move on to the next matchup. It is your boy, Team Fairlife and Chris, taking on Hayden and Tua Infinity and Bijan, two squads that look to be in the playoff contention towards the end. I think this is one of those games where one of those teams is going to be really mad starting off 0-1. So, Aaron, I'll throw it over to you. Let's go ahead and dive into this.
Yeah, let's do it. So we're going to start with your team, Chris, and we just got to look at some studs that you're bringing back for yet another season. You got the Stallion against the Baltimore Ravens in what I believe is the highest over-under of the week.
I think so. That game's going to be so much fun.
It's going to be amazing
and it's
to
in
watch
Buffalo.
That.
Sunday night.
Sunday night football.
Gary Underwood.
You're going to have all the fireworks. As we know, Josh Allen doesn't necessarily hyper-target one person, but it's just going to be fun to watch him do what he does. We'll be interesting to see if he runs as much as he has previously. Hopefully he does. He'll be a stud. James Cook, he's been off-season vibes have been mixed.
He got paid, though.
He did get paid.
We're good.
He did get paid.
So confidence right there.
He's got some reps, thankfully.
Quentin Johnston. Wow.
Second of the game. Again.
Is he a guy?
He might be a guy.
We'll get to him in just a minute.
Who the hell is that McConkie? Hayden's bench. And then, of course, you've got some really intriguing options as well. Jameson Williams, another year older, another yes, year wiser. I think he's going to have a top 24 season potentially right next to Amon-Ra. And then you also have Alvin Kamara, which I literally think he's just going to PPR his way.
Oh, he's going to have 9 catches.
Into RB2, 30 yards. Low-end RB1 yeah. territory. So up and down the lineup, Chris is very solid. One concern I do have, though, is Malik Nabers. Don't know if you saw the news, but he had some back stiffness. He's also been dealing with, I think, a toe injury that dates back to college.
Yeah, that's weird.
Which is just interesting.
Just fix it. You got so much money.
You have a lot of money. Just
get in there. Yeah. Just grab it and just fix it.
Fix
yeah,
it.
Just, right. You know, I don't know what you got to do, but get that right. So that concerns me a little bit at Washington. You know, they're on the come up with last year getting to the NFC Championship. So, and Devon Achane has also been hurt too. So, I mean, there's a couple of question marks, but up and down the lineup, very strong compared to Hayden.
And that would be Tua Infinity and Bijan. Before the game started, I was just dogging how much I thought he had the weakest quarterback in this league.
It was a good argument, honestly.
He's got Pat Mahomes, right? Like the first overall pick in this draft in 2020.
Yeah, never forget. I forgot about that.
Still there, still riding him. He's got 25 points in the fourth, you know, 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. That's a solid quarterback week. You'll take yeah, that, annoying. Especially going up against Josh Allen. You got the running backs. We know them. Bijan Robinson playing in a dome at home. Should be fine. Should score lots of points. You got Jahmyr Gibbs. NFC North football to start the year.
Away at Green
Lions
Bay.
And Green Bay. That's always fun. Always seems to be a good watch. And you got in the flex, Derrick Henry. Boo-hoo, you know, Tractor Cito. It's not snowy yet, but at Buffalo, like, that seems like an ominous place for the Yeti to
it
start.
It is.
you got in the receiver spot. You know, we know Puka Nacua with upside of number one, like top three, top five receiver easily, in my opinion. Like, I don't know if you guys feel differently. The upside is all the way up.
I've been avoiding him just because I think I'm nervous about Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, me too. Same.
If he goes down, Puka Nacua becomes a mid wide receiver too. Like, I feel like Puka Nacua is the new Cooper Kupp, where just like him and Matthew Stafford had like a mind meld kind of thing going on.
Right.
You know, so it's I don't think it's a Puka thing. It's a I'm nervous about Matthew Stafford's back kind of thing.
I mean, Davante Adams coming in, he's going to be better than Cooper Kupp was last year. So like, upside is all the way there. The range of outcomes is larger than it was in the past, I think. Jalen Waddle, Aaron's top 12 wide receiver of the year. We all like the pick. Starting against the hapless Indianapolis Colts.
Woohoo!
Go Colts. They suck.
I think that he could easily score a lot of points there. And the other flex guy, Ricky Pearsall.
Interesting start there.
Alive.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I talked about the 49ers a little bit last time, but like, they've got a weak schedule. I like them if they're healthy, even if like if CMC's not and he goes down. Like, I think Purdy in the passing game can get it done still. Somebody's going to step up there. Is it Juwan Jennings? Does he kind of take last year and go forward? Is it Ricky Pearsall? Does he kind of like, is he actually worth the first round pick that they spent on him? We shall find out. And then Hayden's arguably, I mean, not arguably, in my opinion, tight end, the weakest spot on his roster. Jake Ferguson gave him 7 solid points, but nobody's getting that excited for Jake Ferguson, right? So right now, as we sit here, Hayden has a 51% chance Patrick Mahomes doing that.
Almost a
50.
And so to get into the pick'ems here.
Yeah, who you got here?
I've got Hayden in this one, and I think it was largely due to some question betrayal marks on some guys. Achan's health, is he going to get a full workload? Do you know? Anybody know?
I think he's ready to go.
You think he's fully ready? Okay.
Yeah, he should be good.
He was scaring me. As well as like I know Kamara is probably just going to be what he always is, but Spencer Rattler, like the Saints, scare the ever living doo doo out of me. And then just the running backs for Hayden, I think can get it done. And I do like the Ricky Pearsall pick myself. So Chris, you said you maybe were a little iffy on the Ricky Pearsall. Who are you looking like?
Well, I think that's a discussion. I mean, I think he has Debo down there on his bench.
Yeah.
You're not going to start Quinton Johnson, even though he's having a great game.
He might going forward.
Right. I think Debo is a potential option.
Yeah, we talked about Terry.
I wouldn't hate Cedric Tillman. I think he has a great matchup against the Bengals. Or if you really want to go high T, go RJ Harvey. Just put your balls out there and start your first round pick. So, I mean, I think Ricky Pearsall is... I mean, would he even be considered the safe pick there? Like, I don't know. Aaron, what are you thinking? Who would you start here?
Maybe just because of all the injuries that the 49ers have had, I'd go Pearsall.
Pearsall?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
That could really swing this here. That could really swing this. Who you got in this game?
You know, I was teetering back and forth. Initially, I put Hayden, but after going through your lineup again... I'm gonna take you.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is good. Do we have matchup of the week? Are we doing that again?
But
we
do have a
matchup of the week. Okay.
Well, I think this, it's this gonna go down to the wire. It's definitely gonna go down to the wire. I think the X factor for me is gonna be Jameson Williams.
Mm. Yeah. That's right. I do like a little.
Now, what if I put Michael Pittman Jr. in there instead of Jameson Williams?
Then you lose.
Yeah.
you will definitely
lose. Okay. Okay.
I'll respect it because you think he's gonna be a dude.
You got some gonads over there if you do that.
I know. All right. Well, it looks like it's 2 for your boy, 1 for Hayden. Like I said, another one of those matchups where the team that starts 0-1 is going to be really upset, I think. So we'll move on to the next one. It is Zach and Brees Lightning taking on Steven and Mount Passmore, as it currently writes. Sleeper giving Mount Passmore a 64% chance of victory, particularly behind a current 31-point performance from Justin Herbert.
Herbo.
Mount Passmore and Steven loves that. And really, I actually love just this matchup as a whole. I think it could be a lot of fun, especially considering Javonte Williams put up 20 points on Thursday Night Football. And a little plus thing, you know, I think he established himself as the bell cow down there in Dallas. He had 15 carries to Miles Sanders 4. So, congratulations, Zach. You have a starting running back on your hands. But again, our predictions are as if these people haven't played yet. So, I will stick to that. And I think there's usually on week one, you want to kind of hesitate and say you don't want to make conclusions about players after week one. But I think there are several players on Zach's team that you could potentially make conclusions about after week one. Breece Hall, what does that split look like?
Right.
Is he even the starter? There's a world out there where Braylon Allen gets 15 carries and Breece Hall gets 5.
He's got Braylon Allen, though, doesn't he?
He does. So, but I'm just like,
yeah.
You could consider that. Trevion Henderson, is he the starter? Is he pass blocking on third down?
Might be a slow roll.
Is he on special teams? Is he the returner? You saw what he can do there. Marvin Harrison Jr.
Big question.
Come on,
huge.
Man. If you don't have at least 5 targets, like, what are we doing, man? Like, I think we're in for another long season if that's the case. So I typically don't say this, but I think, Zach, you can tell a lot about his team after week one. So I'm really, really excited about that. I think we'll get a lot of answers there, particularly in the flex. Like I said, Javonte Williams got off to a great start. Austin Eckler, I think, is one of those veteran guys that we know, the J.K. Dobbins of the world, the Tony Pollards of the world, that can get off to a really good start at the beginning of the year. I think he is the unquestioned starter there in Washington, so I like that as a flex spot. And, of course, it is the debut of his new toy, Jaden Daniels. I think one of those quarterbacks that can single-handedly win you a week if he really gets going, you know, putting up that 35, 40, even 45 point performance. Looking at Zach's bench, you could potentially argue a Josh Downs start there.
I would.
Yeah. But really, other than that, Josh Downs versus Miami, that's a good matchup.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you potentially like that. Maybe over Neckler, maybe over Breece Hall if you're feeling really, really sexy. But yeah, so that's Zach's team there. I would probably roll with the lineup he has right now. Again, Breece Hall, Trevion Henderson, Marvin Harrison Jr., Tet McMillan, David Njoku, and Austin Eckler, rounding out with Jaden Daniels. And I'll throw it over to Aaron to go over to Steven before we make some picks.
Yeah, so Steven's lineup up and down, he very well might show this week that he is somebody that you should not just be writing off. I love Chase Brown this week against the Browns, and then also JT.
Brown against the Browns.
I think JT could very well eat against Miami at home. Miami's defense is not what it used to be. And
shut up, Tim.
I do think that.
I'm sorry. I was sick last week, and into this week, I got a cough.
I do think that the Colts are going to really try to live and die by JT. I think that they're really going to have a difficult time, if not going through Daniel Jones. I just don't see him getting 35, 40 pass attempts a game. It's going to be 25 to 30, and then JT's getting 20 to 25 carries. So that's going to be good news for him. And then DK Metcalf, he was also in the running for a guy that I'm super high on. Who else is there in Pittsburgh to throw to?
Dude, I keep going so back and forth on him.
I know Sauce Gardner is there week one, so that might be shutdown city, but I really like him. T. Higgins, I think, could bounce back. He just needs to stay healthy. He just has to stay healthy.
Hey, he got paid, so he's going to be healthy.
Yeah, so he got paid, which is great. And then even George Kittle, I mean, I think he could finish as the tight end one on the year. So really the only weakness on his whole team, I mean, Justin Herbert's going off. I was thinking he was underrated, and then Ashton Jeanty. The only guy on there where it's like, yeah, you don't love it is Jacoby Myers, but I think he can figure out the flex as he goes, and Jordan Addison comes back in 3 weeks. So I look up and down, and are we doing predictions right now?
Yeah,
hit me. Run it.
Yeah, I think it's Steven. I do. And I really also like the fact that he's playing Arizona against New Orleans. I think that is very much a juicy defensive matchup because Spencer Rattler just ain't it.
He's
Rattler, the Rattling Bog.
He is the 32nd worst quarterback to start this year.
Maybe 36.
32nd.
Steven,
Daniel Jones is 31st.
As this year goes, he might be last year's Clayton.
Surprise some people, you think?
Yep.
Yeah, I could see it. I really wanted to go with Zach. I thought it would be fun, but yeah, it was Steven for me.
Steven for me as well. Like I said, you know, Zach's got a little upside, you know, a dark horse in him. But this week it was Steven.
Two matchups to go. We have an interesting one here. We are talking about Aaron and the Sun God Squad taking on the number one seeded, number one ranked, the Titan, the immovable object, Clayton and the Red Rockets. Dang. Here we go. Aaron's shaking in his boots over there. I can already see it.
I am. I'm curious to see what you guys have to say.
As of right now, Sleeper giving Clayton an 83% chance of victory. Sleeper also likes the Red Rocket this week.
That's right.
And of course, Aaron dealing with Omarion Hampton, Isaiah Pacheco, Ladd McConkey, all already playing. Or wait, I'm sorry. I missed the 1 point. My bad, AJ Brown. sorry, that was mean.
He doesn't even need mention.
That was mean. I'm sorry. So yeah, Clayton's certainly off to a good start, and he has not even played a soul in this game.
Pretty
so,
cool, pretty cool.
Tim, does Aaron have a chance here?
Nope. Nope, and that's yeah. Before we nope. Before we had what we had, Trevor Lawrence, I can see a little upside. You know, we've been talking a little Liam Cohen. I think Aaron maybe liked him. Was it for bounce back player of the year or yep. MVP dark horse, something like that?
Yep, bold take.
I like it. Carolina's defense wasn't great last year. They're not going to be great this year. At home is a good start, but it's looking like rain. I've been saying a lot of rain, it feels like, this week. Round two over there. You got the running backs tonight. Omarion Hampton has looked pretty right at a slightly above average.
Like, he looked like a rookie getting his first NFL start ever.
Yes, and that's totally fine. Against the Chiefs defense, that's totally fine.
That's a good defense.
He's got 8 points. It's solid. It's a forgettable debut. Looks like it's kind of going to end there. Isaiah Pacheco, you don't love to see 5 carries.
Yeah, that's not great.
He only has 5 carries.
And the game's almost over.
That's not great.
Like last year when we were all like on Pacheco last year coming into the year, and he was going to get like 20, 25 touches a game, and right now he's got 7. Big question mark there. AJ Brown, we've said. Ladd McConkey looks good. He's been getting open. He's loose. He seems like you know, Harbaugh and his high T offense might be a high P offense.
Mm-hmm. Herbert's been slinging it, man.
You know, if Quentin Johnson is somebody, if Keenan Allen's still got some juice, and Ladd McConkey, like 1, 2, 3, that's a solid receiving core.
And that's why Omar and Hampton will have better days ahead. If you have that good of an offense, touchdowns will come.
Yeah, and some late game rushing stuff like that.
Yep.
Slot flex guys real quick. Amon Ross St. Brown, we know what he is. Top 3 receiver easily in the game. At Green Bay, they no longer have
easily
Jair. I think easily.
Okay.
You've always hated Amon Ross.
I have.
I mean, he has his upside is number one in my opinion. So we talked about Ibuka. We like Ibuka.
Ibuka.
The Rams defense.
Give me Ibuka.
Ibuka.
Question for you guys, just, you know, for S's and G's. If you're me, given now we know what we know, do I go for even higher upside, like Matthew Golden as opposed to Ibuka?
No.
I think Ibuka's upside is high.
Mm-hmm.
Baker, Godwin's going to miss a couple weeks.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, that game's going to be crazy.
No.
If it's me, you know, maybe you look at benching A.J. Brown.
retroactive.
Get him out of your lineup.
This bit, we just got to run with it at this point.
I know.
Yeah, so the biggest question mark, we dabbled a little. Kyle Pitts, is he anything?
Please,
this is year five.
Please.
Year five of saying, man, this guy looks like he should be so good.
Tim, he's still only 24.
He looks like he should be still so a baby. Good.
We act like he's 34.
He's still a child.
Like, this guy's just nothing in the tank.
So we got some youth, you know, between all the second round picks he had on the bench. But, you know, Aaron's guys aren't looking like they're going to get it done this week.
Does anybody want to bet me again? I think he finishes as a top 8 tight end.
Pitts?
Yep.
Kyle Pitts.
Mm-hmm. Tight end's like a cop out.
Yeah,
like,
I won't
that's
take
like
that.
A, that's like all a cop out
I'll
position.
Take top 5. He won't finish the top 5.
I'm not going
to
do that.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. Fine. Like, it doesn't take that much to get to 8.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, I have the honor of going through, Tim said it earlier, maybe the best starting lineup we've ever seen in this league history. Are you ready, boys and girls?
Yeah, don't look at the bench.
The Red Rocket starting lineup. We have Joe Burrow at the Cleveland Browns.
Woo-hoo!
He is going to eat their lunch. Bucky Irving at the Atlanta Falcons. Love that. We're going to skip this one because we'll come back to it. Brian Thomas at home against the Carolina Panthers. You'll love that. Nico Collins at the LA Rams. Gotta love that. He's probably going to eat there. And then, of course, we have the
Whopper,
double-decker tight end stacker, Brock Bowers at the New England Patriots for the Los Angeles Raiders. Las Vegas Raiders. There you go.
Yeah.
And, of course, Trey McBride at New Orleans Saints for the Arizona Cardinals. And, of course, just rounding out what's supposed to be your weak flex spots, right? We have Drake London at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, ladies and gentlemen. Now, you might be saying, Chris, what's his RB2 spot? We're currently rocking Caleb Johnson.
Oh.
Who might get 3 carries.
He might be an inactive starter.
He might be inactive. And if that's the case,
you pivot
to Tim told me not to do this, but, I mean, we pivot to Bashuel Tutin, Tyler Algier. You know, let's just bring the vibes down. Let's not talk about Clayton's running back 2 spot. Let's talk about the double-decker tight end stacker. Let's talk about Nico Collins with a great matchup against the Rams. Let's talk about Brian Thomas with a great matchup against the Raiders, or excuse me, the Panthers. It is all systems go for the Red Rocket. None of these matchups really scare you necessarily, especially Joe Burrow at Cleveland. I think a potentially quarterback number 1 week is in store for Mr. Burrow.
I hope so. Please,
and that's why I think Clayton wins this one fairly handedly, especially considering Isaiah Pacheco got 5 carries and A.J. Brown got 1 catch. But again, I made that before the game started.
Yeah.
Men of integrity. Aaron, who you got?
Oh, I easily Clayton.
All right. There you
this go. Was a this was a really tough out the gate matchup to face the weak favorite.
Ah. And Tim.
I'm rocking Clayton here. I got one guy I want to talk about real quick. May I?
Get it.
Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah.
Where are you guys at on him?
Let's just say in the redraft leagues I'm in, I did not take him anywhere. Because he is
wide receiver 4 last year.
He is going in the same tier as Nico Collins, Malik Nabers, Drake London, and I took all 3 of those guys above him.
I think he's overrated.
Oh, no, not that word.
I think so too.
The O word? Wow.
Dog, I was sitting, you know, rocking my son who doesn't sleep at night at like 4 in the morning the other day.
Just thinking of Brian Thomas Jr.
Just thinking of Travis Hunter.
Talk to me.
Thinking about Travis Hunter.
Talk
okay?
to me.
This man's listed as the starting wide receiver and a backup cornerback. If you saw that like before the rookie draft, he's going 2.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, probably.
Travis Hunter's upside is up. What if he's just their 1?
Talk to me.
What if Travis Hunter is their 1?
Chris is loving this.
Like, I'm not saying week 1 that's going to be the case, but like,
what if he is?
I like me some Travis Hunter. And Brian Thomas, I was not high on. I think it might have been an outlier year. I don't know.
The other thing is if you go look at last year's stats, there is a stark, and I mean stark, contrast in almost every relevant wide receiver category when Trevor Lawrence was on the field versus when Trevor Lawrence was off the field.
Right.
Oh, you're right.
Mac Jones hyper-targeted Brian Thomas Jr.
Yes, sir.
To the point where it was like, is there anybody else on the field that you'll look at? I mean, he was throwing into triple coverage.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
He was throwing into double coverage.
You're getting one of these, Aaron.
Good call.
That's a great point.
He was throwing just moon balls like Russell Wilson, just like praying that this man would go get
it. Not trying to talk down the Red Rocket. Like, everybody had him at number 1.
Right.
But still, like I just feel like we had to talk about Brian Thomas.
I see Brian Thomas as a top 15 guy.
Where I don't even know if I see that.
I'm actually really glad you brought this up because I meant to bring up Travis Hunter when we talked about my team, but I forgot.
Like that's the range, like 14 to like 16 or 17 is like where I honestly see him, like with the potential to be low end wide receiver one. Whereas the industry, I feel like, you know, he's wide receiver 6.
Yeah, he's up there, man.
5, 7. Like
I easily would take a bet with somebody outside of top 15. But it feels like we're all kind of not.
Yeah,
loving
about to
it.
Say. Yeah, nobody's. Yeah, banging
I don't
the
know
table
if I'll.
Brian
I don't
here.
Know if I'll take that.
Yeah,
because I agree. Well, okay, so Tim, what is his basement? Like, where do you think the lowest is that he could finish?
28.
Wow,
I could see it.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it too.
Like he had 10 touchdowns last year, like a 3 or 4 touchdown year. Even if you have targets and yards, like you're going to slide pretty quickly because in fantasy you've got guys every year scoring 10 to like 17 touchdowns. So
yeah,
ooh,
I think the range is wide.
This podcast hates Brian Thomas.
Loving a little bit.
Do we
on
have
Travis
a guy we
Hunter.
Love this year? Is it like Cortland Sutton? I mean, we all like Cortland Sutton. It was Chris Godwin last year.
I know.
Prime time, baby.
I miss that.
We were cooking. So I don't know if we have like a guy that we all love this year.
Well, I don't know.
We'll just choose hate this year.
Yeah.
We'll just choose hatred. We all hate Brian Thomas Jr. Sorry, Clayton. All right. Let's move on to our final game of the week. And you know what that means. It is our game of the week. And of course, we are talking about the one. No, we are not. I'm sorry. I was about to say the 1 and 2 in the power rankings. But we are talking about the number 2 in the power rankings going up against our defending champion. It is Tim and close but no Jamar taking on Stretch and Walker. I hardly know her. And your game of the week, as of now, Sleeper giving Tim and close but no Jamar a 75% chance of victory. We mentioned it earlier, but he was cooking with Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, CeeDee Lamb on Thursday Night Football. While Stretch is hanging out with a decent 11-point performance from Dallas Goedert, a disappointing 3 points from the Eagles, and only 4 points from Devonta Smith.
And the Chiefs lost.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go, baby.
I love that.
Hey, that's my Denver Broncos pick.
Chargers, baby.
I love Jim Harbaugh.
Dude, could the Chiefs just, like, miss the playoffs altogether? That would just,
that'd
like,
be so nice.
That'd be so awesome.
I think I would bust.
I'm going to bust. All right. Speaking of bust, people really likes Tim's team. So, Aaron, you get the lucky pleasure of previewing this matchup, the first part of it anyways.
Yes, I do. And, boy, do I get a good team to preview here. Tim, number 2 in our power rankings.
Look at that.
He's woo-hoo. He's bringing out arguably, in my mind, the wide receiver 1 and 2 in all of Dynasty.
Oh, yeah.
Jamar Chase and CeeDee Lamb. I mean, going into this matchup, you knew that they were going to show out. CeeDee Lamb certainly did that. We were talking pre-pod before we were on the air. CeeDee could have had a 30 to 40 point game if he could have just held on to even 2 of those 4 drops that were crucial.
Hold your balls.
Just hold them. He took accountability after the game in the interviews, and I believe him. I think he'll come back with a vengeance, but still had a solid 18 points. Saquon. Yeah.
Oh, terrible game. 7 catches, 110 yards.
Yeah, you bum.
From a fantasy perspective, he did perfectly fine. You'll take that any day of the week. Saquon just picking up where he left off, getting a lot of volume through the air.
Yes, sir.
Had a touchdown. I miss him.
Thanks.
I miss him.
And
I
then
think I still think about you.
Yeah. And then Jalen Hurts with 2 rushing touchdowns. You know, you expected that. Dude. Top 5 quarterback in Dynasty as well.
I love early season Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Before he's like taking a beating and looks slow. Like he looks so fast in week 1.
Yeah. You got a few question marks, right? Sam Laporta, what are we? You know, with Tim paying
tied in with a good mustache.
I mean, Tim.
Yes, sir.
Tim gave a literal farm for this man.
A literal draft, yeah.
A draft farm for Sam Laporta. Believed in him. Now it's time for him to pay off. A lot of sites and other places have him finishing in the top 5. He's got to pay off in that respect.
Who finishes higher, Aaron? Sam Laporta or Kyle Pitts? Oh, he's thinking about it. He's thinking about it. He's thinking about it.
I think I'll pitch. LaPorta.
Tim, take that bet.
LaPorta all day.
Take that bet. Yeah. Come on. $15?
I'm there.
$15?
I'll do 10 on that one.
I'm there.
I'll do 10 on that one.
You there?
You're there,
I'm
Tim?
There.
All right, put it on the board, baby. Right. $10.
Yeah, LaPorta's not a top... it pains me a little bit to say, but he's not a top three tight end guy. But he's solidly in the 4 to 7 range.
Oh, like, we're cooking. Look at this. Sam LaPorta versus Kyle Pitts.
And if you want to know the truth, for Tim's season, and really how it's going to be defined, is Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
If Tyreek Hill is back to who we know Tyreek Hill to be, which is an elite wide receiver in the NFL, Tim is absolutely a favorite to win the ship. If he's not, he's got some work to do, and it might be a slow roll to figure it out.
Then I'm really scared.
Yeah. So we'll see, man. I mean, at Indianapolis, not really a crazy matchup from a defensive perspective. Like, we'll see if Tyree can show out.
Yeah.
Juwan Jennings got that incentivized contract, you know, extra few mil.
Incentivized contract.
So we'll
see. Hey, he's betting on himself.
Betting on himself. We'll see. You know, I don't hate it as a flex. And Denver defense, man.
That is golden goose, baby. I love that.
Tim, I think we've talked about this even off air, that the Denver Broncos defense of this year could be like when Stretch had the Cowboys D, when I had the Patriots D that one year.
I just love it.
No matter
what. Love it.
They're matchup proof. You just set it. You forget it. You don't even think about it. It's just move on to your other positions. So overall, I really like his lineup. We didn't really touch on Aaron Jones. You know, we'll have to see. But, I mean, he's got Jordan Mason. So, like, he'll have the luxury of figuring that out.
Yeah. Right? I think in my mind, I rock Aaron Jones early season and see what happens. Yeah. But I won't be shocked if Jordan Mason is there until, like, week 2 or 3.
Yeah, that's – you drafted Aaron Jones earlier in redraft, take Big you know. B. Yeah.
Take or Bigsby, yeah. Exactly. All right.
Well, on Stretch's side, who I will go ahead and spoil, and I had picked prior to these games freaking starting, so kind of killing me here, defending champ. But it's familiar players here. No really rocking the boat here for Stretch. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? Kyler Murray, who ends up just being the worst of the above average quarterbacks, just like he pops off when Stretch needs him to, and he just bums out when Stretch doesn't need
him. But you know what's going to happen, right? Stretch is going to pull a Stretch. Drake May is going to be, by season end, a top five quarterback.
Yep. Probably. Yeah. I like me some Drake May this year, for sure. Of course, Josh Jacobs, James Conner. I mean, what can we say about these guys that we haven't said for the past 3 seasons on Stretch's freaking team?
Bell cows.
Just bell cows. Put your blindfolds on. They're going to go between the tackles 15 times a game, get you 2 touchdowns, 90 yards. I mean, that's just their thing. Mike Evans at Atlanta.
Yep.
I'm thinking.
Oh, he's going to eat.
Oh, yeah.
If Stretch wants to come back in this game,
yep,
it's going to be you're watching Red Zone with commercials. But it's
Boycott Scott, Red Zone.
It's Scott Hansen going to Mike Evans 3 times in the 1 o'clock games. And I can hear it. I can see it. I can taste it.
So small tidbit on Red Zone. They announced that there's going to be 4 15-second commercials.
Right, so boycott. So your team capitalism? Boycott. What you're saying? Your team?
It's just no.
Boycott like, Red Zone.
Free football. Listen.
Go ahead.
It's just not as
your big commercial.
It's
I get it.
So expensive.
Your big commercial.
It's not as bad as what I thought it was.
It's so expensive.
I thought it was going to be like every 10 minutes.
Leave it to Aaron. Defend the commercials. Defend the money hungry. No. NFL.
I do like capitalism.
Fair. All right. Dallas Goedert for Stretch. Interestingly, going with him over the Tyler Warrens, over the Mark Andrews. I think that's a very interesting decision. I guess it kind of worked out. He didn't kill you. And then Devontae Adams and Cortland Sutton in the flexes. Again, this is just such a Stretch team where it's.
Yeah, it really is.
He could put up 80. Man. He could put up 180. I would not be surprised either way. And knowing how good Tim feels right now, how good. Sleeper makes Tim feel
pretty good.
I pick Stretch, and I necessarily don't hate it. Like, I'm not saying if I had the opportunity to switch, would I? Yeah, probably. But, like, the fact that I picked Stretch before all of this started, I don't necessarily hate it. And yeah. I actually do think Stretch has a lot of really interesting lineup decisions. If he wanted to, you know, pivot away from a, maybe let's say a Davante Adams, you want to see how that plays out. You know, I think Ken Walker on the bench, Garrett Wilson, those two in particular, I think I wouldn't bat an eye if either of those ended up in his lineup. So, you know, if you want to play high upside, you know, maybe you go with a Garrett Wilson over Davante Adams or something like that. But, yeah, like I said, I have Stretch here. Obviously, I think I'm going to be wrong, but I don't hate it because this is just going to be the most stretchy stretch game ever. He's going to come out, beat the number two overall power ranking guy, and yep. start his march to the championship.
Yep.
Aaron, who you got?
I got Tim.
All right.
Yep. I just seeing Jamar Chase on a team, I'm just kind of like, game over.
yeah. Especially against the Browns. Oh, my goodness.
I could genuinely see Jamar Chase getting 40 week one. I could see that. And then all you need after that is like just okay games from everybody else.
It really is.
And I think that you're going to get that. I also think that Cam Ward going up against the Denver Broncos defense is going to That's be a welcome to the NFL moment.
At home.
I think there's a pick six involved in that game.
Quite a few sacks.
Yep.
I can see it.
And Tyreek Hill, I think, will maybe eat the Colts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Colts.
Yeah, no, my flexes scare me, but my potential quarterback one, running back one, wide receiver two, they help me sleep easy at night.
Yeah, you're kind of like Anthony. Just
yeah, he's like now the Anthony.
Four horsemen, yeah.
Yeah.
Of so, current day.
I'm taking me, but it's Stretch. You do not feel good.
Don't sleep on this man.
You do not feel good playing Stretch until the games are over and the lineups like 2 days later are done and points are counted. So,
but I feel like I am going to get off to a rough start on these pick'ems, ladies and gentlemen. It's fine. It's all going to be fine because we have football back and that's all that matters, guys. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Week one is upon us. Let's get you out of here and sign off. If you could, subscribe, share us with your friends, comment, and as always, dominate the like button, bring the
Crush
boom to the like
it.
Button, just mollywop that thing.
Just click it. Or you it's could been the same it. For 6 years.
We'd appreciate a click, too. That's probably a lot easier, ladies and gentlemen. I'm willing to host on Sunday. We're just doing the ultimate guy thing and just not planning it until the last minute. But yeah, just go ahead and mark my house as the place to go. You know, find a babysitter, do something, come watch some football. You know what I'm saying? With the boys.
I'll bring my son.
Yeah. It should. Yeah.
Ooh, Bash.
Bring the man.
His first week one.
For sure. Yeah. That'd be great. But yeah, go ahead and plan for that. And that way we can all tilt and celebrate and trash talk together, ladies and gentlemen. The wait is over. We are here. Week one.
I'm so excited.
Football.
It's like Christmas, baby.
Fantasy football. My name's Chris. Signing off. Love you guys.
I got goosebumps. Peace.
Go on, get.